My name is Jim Rome, and I'm live. We're having a good day. Really good Wednesday. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The radio program is live. We are in our studios. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there I am. You see me, and we are continuing. It's good Wednesday. Coming up later on today, episode number 122 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Matt Money Smith. It's a great episode. How do I know? Since we haven't done it yet, because we've already done it. I interviewed Matt yesterday. In fact, I didn't interview him. We had a great conversation yesterday. You're going to want to hear this, especially if you know him, and even if you don't. That's coming up after the program. We will push that out. I'm looking for an ATP a little bit later on. And what do you know? One bad phone call can spawn lots of other phone calls. It's a great phone call day in the jungle. Phone lines are all lit up. I've got Justin Bethel coming up in about 35 minutes. That'll be the last segment of the program. So these two segments are open. I've got a lot of other content, but like I like to say, I'm going to play the hot hand. It's like sitting down at a blackjack table. You never know what kind of shoe or deck you're going to sit down in. When it gets hot, you know you're in the middle of a hot streak. You ride that thing. You play that thing as long as you can. That's how I feel about the phone calls. I know these cards are going cold. I know they're going to come back and bite me in the ass. But right now, I'm on a heater. I'm going to play that thing as long as I possibly can. Back to the phones. Very unusual for me to start hour number three and not go with some topic to set the table for the third hour. I'm going to play the hot hand. Let's go to Boston. He is a three-time Smack-Off participant. He has been in the top five in the Smack-Off, which means that in any given year, he is a force on this program. Mark in Boston. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, listen, before I get to my take, I just want to address the elephant in the room or the elephant that wasn't in the room. Hey, Rich Smackerman, I know that we're all trying to practice social distancing right now, but you can't socially distance yourself from your phone when you're working from home to do the sports update. You can't disappear and be Rich go get a Snackerman when you've got to tell me which third string linebacker just signed with the Lions when we go 1-16 this year. And Jim, just to jump on what Graham and Indy said, I mean, my mind is blown after that call. Can you believe that take? I've got the solution to all the Lions' problems. We just need to keep Barry Sanders. And we just need to keep Calvin Johnson. And then I'm not talking four, not five, not six, not seven. And when I mean that, I really believe it. We would win seven Super Bowls because all we have to do is keep our best players. Michigan's going to beat Ohio State for the first time in like a millennia. We just got to keep Charles Woodson and Tom Brady. Sweet take, bro. What's next? Are we going to just keep John Elway with the Broncos or go back and get Johnny Unitas for the Colts? They just need to keep Johnny Unitas, buddy. Great take, buddy. Call us back. We'd love to hear more. Rack me.
Rack him. Do exactly what he said. This is why he is a three-time Smack-Off participant. This is why he's a top fiver from the year 2016. Mark in Boston. You got to get off my guy, Rich Smackerman. All right, so Rich may have stepped away from his desk. Or there may have been a logistical issue. There may have been a technical issue. I really don't know. I really do not know. Just know this, I'm not judging. And the reason I'm not judging is there is a big box in my office at home. A big box which is probably going to be very similar to the setup that Dr. Smackerman has in his office. So I'm not going to judge, and I'm not going to talk junk because the same thing could happen to me before you know it. Quote, Rich, go get a Snackerman. And then hurry back and tell me about which third string linebacker just got signed to play with the Detroit Lions. That went back to our call from Indiana. We should have kept Andrew Luck. How? Why? He didn't want to stay.
We should have kept Andrew Luck.
1-800-636-8686. All right, quickly. On Monday, Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, which owns the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils, announced that at-will employees of both those teams who make more than $50,000 a year would have their salaries reduced by up to 20% starting on April 15th and then running through the end of June. The New York Times also reported that contracted employees like front office personnel and coaching staff members have been asked to take a pay cut, although they could not be forced to do so. Front office personnel and coaching staff members had until tomorrow to volunteer for that plan. HBSE CEO Scott O'Neill said in a statement, quote, "As we navigate this evolving COVID-19 environment, we are mindful of the long-term impact the suspension of live events and games will have on our organization and industry. To ensure we can continue to support and operate our businesses during these uncertain times without reducing our workforce, we are asking our full-time salaried employees to temporarily reduce their pay by up to 20% and move to a four-day work week," end quote. As you can imagine, that announcement was received terribly. And the heat was directed at Josh Harris and David Blitzer, the managing partners, and it hit hard. It was swift, and it was strong. According to reports, Josh Harris is worth something in the neighborhood of $4 billion. Billion with a B. Billion with a B. Billionaire, butthole, whatever. All right, with a B. An owner worth $4 billion asking employees making $50,000 to take a pay cut is the worst kind of look. Completely and totally out of touch. And that pushback was fast, and it was nasty, and it was ugly. And it wasn't just coming from people outside the organization who were making the point that maybe the guy with $4 billion could throw a bone or two to the folks making $50,000. According to Woj, it also came from inside the organization, where members of the coaching staff and the front office were saying, "We may not even have jobs when this is all over, and you want us to give back money to you right now?" And you have to think there were other team owners in professional sports who were watching that play out and thinking, if this trial balloon does work, we will follow suit. Except it didn't work. The pushback was fierce. And it was so strong that the team announced yesterday that they had had a change of heart and the pay cuts were not going to happen. Harris, he of $4 billion, said in a statement, "After listening to our staff and players, it's clear that was the wrong decision. We have reversed it and we'll be paying these employees their full salaries. This is an extraordinary time in our world, unlike any most of us have ever lived through before, and ordinary business decisions are not enough to meet the moment. To our staff and fans, I apologize for getting this wrong," end quote. All right, so no credit for that horrible idea at the outset, but credit for changing it immediately and apologizing for getting it wrong. And if it ended there, it would be fine, but it doesn't end there because look who comes rushing in, my guy Joel Embiid. Better yet, here comes Joel Embiid and his Twitter account, which still has a screen name of Joel Dua 180 Embiid with 3 question marks. And of course, that screen name is a callback to the moment the Jeopardy contestant Paul made an ass of himself on national TV.
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his that also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team. Paul.
What is Dua 180?
Nope. Margaret or Mike? What is the process?
The fact that Embiid changed his screen name within moments of that answer going viral is incredible still. The fact that he still has it up 3 weeks later is legendary. The fact that he jumped on Twitter yesterday might be the best thing ever. Because after the Sixers announced the change in their plans, Joel Dua 180 tweeted, "In these trying times, I'm proud of the Sixers organization for reversing course and doing a 180. Let's focus on beating this coronavirus now. Let's be responsible and trust the process." Congratulating the team, partially clowning the team, repping Jeopardy contestant Paul, and including a safety message, as well as his own nickname, all in the same tweet, and all in under 280. I mean, just send Joe and his Twitter account to Springfield right now. Don't wait for him to retire. Do it now. That's a tweet that has two drops in it. There's this one.
Do a 180?
Nope.
And there's this one.
Trust the process.
So leave it to Joe to turn a really ugly story for his team into something that everybody can laugh about. Hey, only Joe. Big Joe can do that. He wasn't even done on Twitter for the day. He also saw a tweet from Bleacher Report with a quote from John Collins from Atlanta answering the question of who Collins would most like to dunk on. Collins probably would regret this answer, and if he doesn't, he should. When asked who he would most like to dunk on, Collins said, quote, Joel Embiid. We've had back and forth. I don't want to get into it, but he knows too. Every time he sees me, he says, bro, you're not getting me, end quote. Embiid retweeted that with a slow-mo clip of himself dunking on Collins and shimmying in his face, and included a still photo of that dunk as well. So clearly, just because the NBA has been suspended does not mean that Joel's Twitter feed or Twitter game has been suspended. In fact, it's as good as it's ever been. It's awesome. Oh, and Joe has also committed $500,000 to COVID-19 relief as well. Ultimately, it's a good thing that Josh Harris and the ownership group backed down and decided to do a 180.
Do a 180?
Nope.
Because it would have been an even worse look for them to be asking for people to take a pay cut due to COVID-19 while one of their stars was scratching a check for $500,000 to support people impacted by COVID-19. That would have looked about as good as John Collins getting dunked on.
Trust the process.
Joe. I do trust that process, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
I trust you, Joe. Never gave up on you, Joe. Never lost faith or belief in you, Joe. Always had your back. 1-800-636-8686. All right, still ahead. Justin Bethel, that's going to be in the last segment of the program. Also, are you getting your workouts in? There's a guy in France who is at home. The most insane in-home workout I've ever heard of. And I will have that for you momentarily. Hey, people are home now. People are home now and they want to talk because the phone lines are jammed. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. When we come back, we will take more phone calls. Stay with it. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Justin Bethel at 40 past. Jim Rome Podcast, episode 122 with Matt Money Smith after the program. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close, we are convenient, we are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices. Excellent customer service from professional parts people that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Justin Bethel is set to join us in about 20 minutes. So you try to get your workouts in. What are you doing to get a workout in at home? It's tough right now. And what are you doing if you want to do it outside? Remember, two of the world's biggest and most prestigious and most famous marathons, as an example, were disrupted this year by the outbreak of the coronavirus. The Tokyo Marathon was canceled completely to the non-elite field of entrance. The Boston Marathon was moved from its staple April position to later this year in September. In fact, the last major marathon to take place happened right here in L.A. 17 days ago. God, it's amazing, isn't it? That was 17 days ago. It feels like 17 months. It feels like a lifetime since that race. 48 hours after the L.A. Marathon was completed, the NBA suspended its season. And then after that, domino after domino fell in rapid succession. And here we are now. Most of the world is on some sort of advisement to shelter in place and to limit their social interaction to those within their home or those within their essential services workplace. France is no different. And because the French government issued orders 8 days ago to remain indoors, we're seeing something very similar there. But even that order in and of itself and that restriction in and of itself did not stop one 32-year-old man from running and completing a marathon. Pretty impressive, right? Impressive. So you're probably asking, what's the big deal? You are allowed outside if you're responsible and you can socially distance. I mean, hey, Rome, take a look outside. Don't you see people jogging? Don't you see people going up and down the trail? Look outside your window. You'll probably see somebody getting some work in. True. And to think that somebody went and ran 26.2 during a pandemic would not be the most surprising thing ever. I'll give you that. Wouldn't even merit a mention on this show. I will give you that. However, what if I told you that person ran the 26.2 and did so in their home? That's more impressive, right? But then again, maybe not worth a mention on the show. Like, what's the big deal? Doing 26.2 on a treadmill is definitely something, but it's not so unheard of that I would reach across the pond to pull that story back for a national audience here. And no, I'm not desperate for content. That's not what this is about. No, the reason I'm talking about this 32-year-old completing a marathon on lockdown at his home is because he didn't do it on a treadmill. He did it on his balcony. That's right. Elisha Nochmovitz completed a 26.2-mile marathon on his 23-foot balcony. And he didn't just say he did it. He documented it. He filmed it. He's got proof. Complete with the receipts of a GPS watch showing that he completed his time in 6 hours and 48 minutes. Dude, yes. Yes.
Dude, yes, yes.
The logistics of this are crazy. All right, think about this for a minute. First off, this guy's house is not a house. It's an apartment. And he's up a few stories. And the video reveals that he lives in a densely populated community with a lot of buildings across from his. So obviously, every single one of his neighbors are at home right now, or should be. And for 7 hours, they could look out their window and see this madman running 23 feet at a time before turning around and doing it again. All in all, my man ran 3,000 laps of 46 feet back and forth. Of the 36 marathons that he has finished, this one took nearly double his average time because he was unable to get into a decent rhythm or pace. And while normal marathons have zero half-body turns, this one had 3,000 of them, which did wreak some havoc on his ankle and his hips. My man told CNN this was by far the most challenging marathon he's ever run. Yeah, really? Why? It's because you were a human hamster on a wheel for damn near 7 hours. What's so hard about that? Other than it sounds like POW torture. Honestly, I don't know what would be tougher, running that particular marathon or watching that particular marathon. Or in the case of his neighbors, hearing that particular marathon. If they were downstairs. I mean, at this point, I think we all have to be asking ourselves, the hell is our excuse for not getting in a 30-minute workout during this pandemic? When homeboy here is out on his deck, weaving between chairs and a damn charcoal Weber getting a marathon in. He also told CNN, my only pleasure is running. Yeah, that makes sense. Because those of you who hate running absolutely despise it. And those of you who love running are straight up crack addicts for it. And this dude was fiending for some miles. So he went and he saw his dealer on his freaking balcony. No crowd, no medal. It took him twice as long as it normally does. No finish line glory. Just a psycho who put the rest of the lazy, excuse-making world on blast. Like right now, there's a viral social media thread called the 10 push-up challenge, where you record yourself doing 10 push-ups, and then you tag friends in the video, so they do it next, and then they tag others. First off, if doing 10 push-ups is a challenge, we're screwed. Second off, if my man Elisha, he just dunked on that challenge. He dunked on it, hung on the rim, stepped over the world, and he did so Allen Iverson style. 26.2-mile marathon on a 23-foot balcony during a lockdown. And to think, I was thinking about ordering a Sixer tonight, delivered to my home. I might rethink that. That's a guy adapting. That's a guy improvising. That's a guy getting creative with it. That's a psycho. You know what I'm thinking about doing? If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, see this big white desk? I'm thinking about running an ultra on it tonight. 8 feet at a time. You know what I'm thinking about doing on this big white desk here? I'm thinking about making it an Ironman. Ride my bike across it for several hours. Swim across it for several hours. Run across it for several hours. I'm thinking about going Goggins on this desk. A 26.2 marathon on a 23-foot balcony. Bro, did it have to be on the balcony? Couldn't you have just opened the sliding glass door and stretched that thing into the kitchen? Then you probably only would have had to do like 2,500 laps. Come on, man. Quickly. I wonder if there were water stations on that balcony. Anybody with water? Just set up a little porta potty? Bananas over there, water's here, protein bars over there. Let's quickly go to Rockland. Andy in Rockland. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Great. How are you, Andy?
I'm not on my balcony, but I was just going to tell y'all I got my basil.
What are you doing with your basil?
Growing it. It's good for your immune system, for everybody, you know, with that virus thing.
You mean that virus thing that created that global pandemic thing?
Yeah.
So basil's
anyway,
good for that. Okay, anyway.
You were talking about Joe Montana.
When?
Well, I've been listening on the phone for like an hour. You guys were talking about Joe Montana.
Anyway,
right?
What about Joe Montana? Yeah, I don't recall that, but what about him?
Oh. Now I feel really stupid. I thought you guys were talking about Joe Montana.
I mean, probably at some point in the last year or so, but not in the last hour.
Okay. I don't know. I just wanted to call and say hi and hope you guys are good. And I got a lot of basil.
Okay. Andy, I hope you're well. It's nice to hear your voice. I'm glad that you have a lot of basil. Basil is good for the immune system. I appreciate you. Continue to consume it and create it. And I'm sure Joe will come up again on the show sometime soon. And you should not feel badly about that. Okay. Let's see what else we have here. Wells in the 360. Was Drew in West LA skateboarding on the balcony also? Maybe. Maybe he was. All right, when we come back, Justin Bethel is scheduled to join us. I want to remind you, before I run home to try out my system of broadcasting at home, I have to put the finishing touches on episode 122 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Matt Money Smith. So that's how the afternoon is setting up. But we are not done yet. Also, I want to direct you to Ed Milet's podcast. It dropped yesterday. I appeared on the program. I need more time to reset that, but that's something you want to look for. It's pinned at the top of my Twitter feed. It's somebody else asking me questions. It's one of the best hours I've ever had. It literally was one of the best hours I've spent in a long, long, long time. Ed Milet is an extremely charismatic entrepreneur who is just killing it. Absolutely killing it, and I love my sit down with him. Make sure you look for that at the top of my Twitter feed or go to his social, Milet, Ed Milet, M-Y-L-E-T-T. Justin Bethel, when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Another really good day in the jungle. One last segment, and welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Segment's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is an ATP day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. As promised, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the Patriots, a two-time All-Pro, a three-time Pro Bowler, four career TDs. He set a Big South Conference career record with nine block kicks in college. He was the 177th pick overall in 2012 at a Presbyterian. Justin Bethel is my guest. Justin, great to have you on. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So there's a lot going on right now, but let me start with the most important thing, which is you recently got married. Am I correct in saying that you got married at Pelican Hill, which is not that far from where I'm sitting right now?
That is correct.
Dude, that is a gorgeous spot. How did you settle on that, and how did it go?
It went great. I didn't really have much to do with the planning. That was all my wife. So she kind of, it was kind of the place she wanted to go, and I was just like, okay, just, you know, we'll get it done and have it there. And it turned out we had it, like, right at the perfect time with all the corona stuff going on. We were, like, one of the last weddings that they were allowing because they're, you know, cutting down groups of people that could be together. So it kind of worked out for us.
Good. So listen, I know you like to get out and golf when you can. Did you play that track? And if so, how did that go?
Nah, you know what's so funny about golfing? I really don't go that much. And when we were there, we were only there for a couple of days, so I didn't really get a chance to really do too much. It was like when we got there, it was pretty much all wedding, and then we flew out to Bora Bora, like, the next morning after we got married.
Dude, that's how you do that. Okay, now I've done that before. Bora Bora is an amazing spot. How did that go for the honeymoon? Did that live up to the hype?
It did. I think it did. We're scuba certified, so we did some scuba diving. Went and we saw some manta rays out in the wild. We did some snorkeling, saw them the next day, swam with some sharks. Some stingrays, some eagle rays. It was pretty cool.
All right, so you're helping me set this thing up. So there's obviously a lot of things going on here. You are scuba certified. You can play some golf. And then last month you walked in New York Fashion Week. How did that opportunity come to be, and how would you describe that experience?
Well, one of my management teams, Brent, the brand architects, they kind of, you know, we're working. I told them I'm into, like, I did some modeling with Wilhelmina and, so I've kind of was in that thing, you know, in that area, that field for a little while, just, you know, because I'm always open to trying things and, you know, seeing where it goes. And then it leads you into being able to meet a lot of cool people and getting some good connections. So that was like one of my main reasons for getting into it. But yeah, they found the opportunity for me, and they're like, hey, you want to, you know, walk on the shore or whatever? I was like, oh, why not? I ain't doing that. I'll try it out, see how it is. And it was cool. I got to walk, and I had a great time. And, you know, it was a different experience for sure.
Dude, I appreciate you sharing that. So your life, right? You get married in Newport Beach. You go to a honeymoon in Bora Bora. You get to walk Fashion Week. Let's not even get into the fact that you've got the House of Bethel Jazz Trio that you have with your brothers. Literally, I can do an entire interview and have a conversation with you and not even get to football or football topics, but I won't do that. You know, it's been a really interesting year in the sense that you signed with the Ravens last offseason. I know they were pumped to get you. What was it like to join that team?
It was awesome. I mean, It's a great organization. Everybody's really nice, and you know, when I got there, I could tell how much they, you know, they wanted me to be there. They were showing the love, and like just talking to the coaches, they really appreciated everything I did and how I came to work every day and how the effort I put in during games.
We're talking to Justin Bethel. So, I mean, it's a great pickup, and it makes sense. But then the weirdest thing happened. For those who do not know, in October, they waived you, but they did it because of a complicated rule that involved another transaction that took place, and they risked losing a compensatory pick. I mean, it was such a weird deal. What was it like when you received that news, and how did you process that?
It was crazy. It was right before the bye week. We were, like, headed into the bye week, and it was funny because we were – the next game we were going to play was going to be the Patriots. I came in early, did my little workout or whatever. And then they came and got me and was like, hey, Justin, we just found out that, you know, such and such happened. And for our compensatory pick, we got to let you go. And they was like, you know, it's nothing you did. You've done everything, you know, the way you were supposed to do it. And it's just one of those, you know, crazy rules that you hate how it is, but it's one of those rules that it's just the way it works. And they let me go, and then it was like I had a good feeling. I was having a good year, and I had a feeling. I was like, okay, well, I mean, I'm sure somebody will pick me up soon. So at that point, I was just like, okay, go home. I was getting ready to go to I was going to take my wife now. We were going to take a little vacation, go to Disney, and just kind of, you know, see everything. And then I got the call from the Patriots, and I went in a visit. Like, it was that next day, pretty much. I went in on a visit, and they told me they wanted me, and they were showing the interest. And then I ended up staying there. I didn't go back home, and I was getting ready for practice the next day.
That's wild.
So it was a very crazy 48 hours for me.
That's a roller coaster. Justin Bethel joining us. It's wild. You know, there's all that talk, too, about the Patriot way, so to speak. As somebody who joined the team, how different, in your opinion, is the Patriot way from what you've experienced in, say, Arizona or Atlanta or Baltimore? In other words, is it really significant, or do people just make too much of that?
No, I think I think you can definitely see it. The way, you know, Bill has everything set up, he's done a great job of building the team to where it is, and guys buy into it. And it's one of those things, it's like you can't really say anything. Like, why would you when they're, you know, they've been so successful? It's like either just, you know, fall in line or don't. You don't have a choice. And I think for me, it's just easy. I'm a pretty easygoing guy. And so it was easy for me to just fall into, you know, what they needed me to do, step into the role. If they needed me to do this or that, you know, I had no problems with doing whatever they needed me to do. And as long as I could do whatever I need to do to help the team win, I'm cool with doing that.
Justin Bethel joining us. Now, playing special teams with the Pats means that you're going to team up with a fellow special teams legend in Matthew Slater. What's it like to team up and run with him?
And it's great. You know, when we're on punt together, it's always nice. It's great when you can have another guy across that, you know, he takes some attention, I take some attention. It's hard to double both of us. And if you let both of us go, we had Nate Ebner in the, at PP. So it was just, and, you know, we just had a whole bunch of guys that you couldn't really just focus on one of us. But it's really cool because we get to talk to each other and, you know, kind of see how we both process different things. And I always tell him, I'm like, man, what are the chances we thought we would end up on the same team? Because it was always, when I was at Arizona, it was always like, okay, Slater's the guy in the AFC who's, you know, their guy. And then when I got to Baltimore, it's like, okay, I'm in the same conference as him. Let's, you know, I'm going to try and stack my cards up against him and see how it goes. And then halfway through the season, we're on the same team. So it's definitely, it's been fun playing with him. And he just signed back, so I'm excited to, you know, get a full year with him.
That's cool. So what's the mindset and the mentality required to play special teams at the elite level that you do?
Really, I think it's a lot of it is you just got to want to do it. You know, a lot of guys come out of college, they've never played special teams. They don't really, to them, it's just kind of just something that you have to do, but you don't want to, you know, really make that your calling, I guess. So I say want to, and you just got to get that. It's pretty much a 5-6 second play, and you just got to give 110% that whole 5-6 seconds and just keep running until they blow the whistle.
Justin Bethel joining us for a few more moments. You know, I mentioned off the top, you've got this amazing history, a tremendous history of blocking kicks. I'm really curious, like, what is that? Is that, are blocking kicks, is that more of an art or is it a science?
I'd say a little bit of both. You know, there's a lot of guys that have blocked kicks and they do it from different parts of the, you know, of the line. I've always been an edge guy for the most part, coming off the edge. So I'm usually coming the long way. But I've had block kicks in high school. Then I had a whole bunch in college. And then when I got here, I had three my rookie year in the preseason. And then after that, it kind of got harder because, you know, once you start making a couple, it's like, okay, we're not letting this guy right here block anymore. So, I think it's like, you just got to take advantage of those opportunities that show up. They don't always show up that often, but it just takes that one mistake from your opponent, and that's when you got to capitalize.
Justin Bethel, my guest. So what was your reaction when you heard that Tom Brady was going to leave New England and then ultimately did decide to join the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I was actually in Bora Bora when I found out, and I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. And it's funny that he went to Tampa because he's down there with B.A., and a lot of those guys, they coached me. And so, I mean, he's in good hands. But, you know, obviously I would have loved to have gotten another year to play with him and get to know him more. But it's definitely – it sucks. But, you know, I think as a team we'll be able to, you know, figure it out going forward. Bills, you know, he's him, and he'll figure it out.
So really quickly, you said, I mean, you did play for BA, so you know him pretty well. What do you think of that combination of Arians and Brady?
I think it's going to be interesting. You know, when he had Carson, he had really great years with him. And I think he's always been known as the quarterback whisperer. So you got two great minds for that position working together, and I think they'll be able to come up with some good stuff.
Yeah, let me ask you this really quickly. You're working with Feeding America to make sure that people in the New England area have enough to eat right now. Why was that something that was important for you to do, and why did you want to take that on?
I think, you know, community outreach has always been something important to me, especially in times like this where everything's, you know, so chaotic. People are panicking, and it's kind of like, okay, it's all about me. Am I okay? I'm making sure I'm grabbing all the toilet paper that I can possibly get for some reason. I'm over shopping pretty much. And then I think it's easy at times like this to forget about people who, even during the good times, struggle with getting food, getting care, and, you know, getting taken care of. So I think it's, in times like this, it's really times when we got to remember there are people who are way less fortunate than us if you're in a good place, and they need help too.
Well said. He's a cornerback for the Patriots, a 2-time All-Pro, a 3-time Pro Bowler, the 177th pick overall in 2012 out of Presbyterian, Justin Bethel, my guest. Justin, really nice job. Thanks so much for doing that, and great to get caught up with you.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
That was fun. Good job. Good on you. Wrapping things up. Had a good day today. Let's see. How about a quick ATP? Good to run him down. Jimmos, I'm curious about how your two cats are handling the stay-at-home order. Do they like hanging out with the Rome fam all day, or do they miss their alone time? Brent in PC. Ordinarily, you would think the cats would not like that because they're cats and they need space. Rome cats are into it. Cody the ragdoll cat is pretty moody. But then when we leave, he's tripping. And then Sapphire is kind of the big fat cat. He's always about hanging out. Now, they're into it. They're into it. Wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services that you need to keep your business running smoothly. See for yourself when you visit Grainger.com. Grainger, the ones who get it done. You know what? My takeaway from that is there are people who don't like cats at all, but there are more of you that do that don't want to admit it. So I'm getting more and more questions about cats. And I'm not afraid, man. I'm comfortable. I'm secure. We got two cats. I like them both a lot. That's it. I'm out. Thanks for listening. Jim Rohn Podcast with Matt.